Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is The Correspondent.
Hello, Bud. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Thank you. And with us is Jez.
Hey, Solution. How are you going?
Good, thank you. So, gentlemen, great night last night. If I can just get self-indulgent for a moment, that was probably one of the best nights of the footy I've had. So, I think, Jez, initially, you were trying to get some MCC package type thing that you had to nominate for and couldn't actually get it. But the alternative was great. Steak at Vlado's.
I think you need to take the listeners through the the evening.
That would be too self-indulgent.
No. Yeah, but you're allowed. We won. Fuck it. Do it.
It was fair to say, great meal, great alcohol, great wine. Great result. The Holy Trinity.
Yes, it was. It was just fantastic. I mean, how many days has it been since we won a final? 6,800. So to break that hoodoo at last was just fantastic.
Yeah, well,
was it a final? I think we were celebrating like it was a final.
Yeah, that's well, right. 2014, right?
It was a marquee game. And let's be honest, we haven't won a final forever. Haven't won many of those games either.
No.
I mean, how many days since we won Dreamtime?
I haven't done the calcs, but
a lot of days, a lot of days.
Can you do 9 times 365, add a few leap years?
Yep. It's a long time. So we're going to this is what I want to start with. Our coach, Brad Scott. And I was roundly criticised for starting the shit truck campaign. I wanted Rutten gone. Isn't it amazing? We've got a coach who not only does he not need 2 years to actually teach the game plan to the players, he can actually switch up that game plan week on week because he actually schemes for the opposition. The players can execute it. And that went a large way to us being, with a depleted midfield, depleted team, so close to the point where we could sneak a win. I just think the jury is in, and Brad Scott, if anybody had any doubts, he's the right man for the helm. He absolutely, in my opinion, is. I'm just so impressed with everything I see here. Press conferences, even the way he spoke about the fans, he was more genuine than anything I ever heard from Xavier or out of Xavier's mouth. So I'm in awe of the job he's doing. Correspondent, am I over the top or?
I think you're spot on. I was, like you, was not a massive fan of Truck towards the back end, but having said that, nor was I convinced that Scott was the right man. But he's proven across the first half of this season that he is, for all the reasons you said, mate. And I, too, was very impressed with his very simple message that he portrayed around the players and talking and the fans post-game. And I think I think you're right. He employed a different game plan last night to that of, say, Brisbane, Melbourne and other recent games. So he's basically proving that all this hogwash of, as you said, you know, instilling a new game plan, keep it simple, and he's getting it done.
Yeah, look, I'm a fan. I mean, he got a lot out of that North list. That people have constantly said, you know, he took this ordinary list to two prelims. He got the most out of the players. And people say that as if that's a criticism of him. I think it's like, it shows what a good coach he is. And what I've been really impressed by is, I mean, we obviously had a plan of sorts. I think we got a world record uncontested marks. And we're doing those short chips up and down the ground. And that was not our usual style. Our usual style is a little bit more long, bomby, rather than that really kind of death by a thousand cuts, short passing. But it was obviously, a plan that they were able to flick on like a switch, and worked really well. And and full credit to him.
Where do you want to go to next?
Mate, come on.
I love the guy. I got, yeah, we could talk for hours on this game.
Where's the fucking run sheet?
There's no run sheet. Have we over celebrated before we get into the nitty gritty?
Over? Are you kidding? What?
this was we earned every bit of celebration at the end of that game, and you know we were there. We're all there, and it was euphoric. Was like an understatement. It was just like this enormous outpouring of happiness and I guess some relief, but just joy of being at the footy again, and joy and belief in the team and the club. And I don't know if it was because it was a comeback or because it was against an old arch enemy or whatever, but yeah. there was a sense, I got this sense that, you know, that these players had earned that win. So that was so well earned over a month of hard football. And it'll give them an enormous shot in the arm.
Well, that was the point that Brad Scott, you know, one of the points he made, obviously, post-match, that you can keep on having some close losses or competitive losses, but, you know, that message wears thin, right? And
if you're not winning.
What's that?
If you're not winning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we've played some bloody good footy against the Pies, against Port. Admittedly, last night we didn't play as well last night as we did against the Pies and Port, right? Within reason. So it was an ugly win. And I think most of us thought at halftime, three quarter time, it was going to be another honourable loss.
Well, with 4 minutes to go, I mean, the comeback.
The guy who was sitting next to me mentioned the honourable loss phrase at about 15 minute mark of the last quarter.
Was there a guy next to you also, you know, humming crazy tunes?
Oh, wait on. I'm going to see if this works. Just bear with me here, everyone. This might not work. This is very lo-fi.
You're going to call me out.
Hang on.
Nah.
We got the first bit.
Nah.
It's not working. Okay.
I've got the trumpet.
Listeners, what Jez was trying to play on his phone unsuccessfully was the Benny Hill theme music. And why was that relevant, Jez?
Because Nick Hine got 22 possessions, and every single time he got one, the guy next to me, aka Solution, started singing the Benny Hill music.
He was singing it. He was humming it.
Was he doing this one?
Yeah. Yeah, that works really well on a podcast, correspondent.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, all right, yeah, stop.
It was probably unfair because he made a couple of shockers, but overall, we'll get to the players in a moment, but I thought he was all right. Yeah, so 4 minutes, I think it was 4 minutes, 7 seconds to go. We're 12 points behind, deep in their forward line. And, yeah, to come back and win, I think that was a huge part of the euphoria that the nature of the comeback against Richmond at the Dreamtime, where we haven't won that game for so long or beat Richmond for so long.
Well, Nigel Mansell's son kind of lost it for them, right?
Yeah, he had a moment. He had a moment. And just one other thing before we get into the players, there was a row behind us of Richmond flogs. And fuck me, if those guys didn't clear out quick.
Well, they were there, and then they just weren't. Like they were just gone.
They were, to quote Jake the Muzz, they were lippy all night. And then, you know, sort of sarcastic, and you're right. Turn around, bang, gone. But anyway.
Well, Jez does look like a bit, you know, Uncle Bully, but anyway.
That's a terrible terrible reference, but then again, it's my fault. All right. You're going to do the awards, correspondent.
Yeah, mate, easy.
Take your time, because I think there's a lot to like. For let's contextualize it. An undermanned makeshift midfield in particular.
Yeah.
Young as well.
Young. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I think we mentioned last night that one of the many tweets that was circulating was the lack of experience at the centre bounce, and at the occasional centre bounce, the most experienced of the four we had in the guts was Andrew Phillips. That's
and the worst.
Yeah, and the worst. Well, yeah, so mate. Well, I won't go from the back line, but yeah, look, there are a number of really good performances last night. Again, from, you know, the young guys who really had to have a crack. You know, Jai Caldwell had a great game. I think 30 touches plus. I think Nicky Martin, again, proves that he's continues to improve well and play well across half back. I know he made a few errors, but the game was kind of error ridden by a lot of players, right?
Just on Caldwell before you continue.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of, my view of him was, yeah, workmanlike, workhorse, tries his guts out, can maybe butcher the ball. See that pass he delivered into the forward line?
Well, that was that bullet pass that he delivered. Was it shortly before or shortly after the left foot thing in the goal square that handed Richmond a goal?
This is all about positive here, correspondent.
No, you're right. That, as I think we said last night, that pass, that bullet pass out of the centre hitting Wiedemann, I don't think we've seen that for, what, I don't know, 10, 15 years?
Well, I Googled it, correspondent, and Google said that it's something called passing to a leading forward.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is new, a new tactic of some sort. I'm not familiar with that tactic.
Surely,
didn't it go out with solution. It went out with a drop kick at Essendon, didn't it?
Yeah, mate. Surely we can dive into some AI and ask a question.
The Winsock 2000 is camping, believe it or not. So I don't know how his node's going to go in this wet weather, but
I think you go back to, I don't know, almost Paul Salmon days, right? When, you know, a guy charging out from the forward line. You know, I was going to say maybe Courtney James, but I'm not sure.
We had a guy called Matty Lloyd, like, let's remember.
Yeah, okay. Lloyd might, yeah, okay. All right, I'm being a bit stupid.
I reckon Masidi used to be able to hit a chest.
Heard to Lloyd or whatever probably happened a bit. But anyway, look, it was a sight for sore eyes, right?
It was great. It was great.
So, and, you know, Andy McGrath, another great game, and I think a good game shutting down his opponent. BZT, you know, I think a great game in defence, not just the way he played, but obviously holding Riewoldt down to, you know, what, maybe one goal. So,
you know, BZT reminded me of a little bit with the long sleeves. He reminds me of a certain Carlton fullback.
Really?
The sausage.
There was a bit of Silvani about the way he was just getting...
Well, he does has a similar gait, don't you think?
Exactly. 100%. Sauce was particularly early in his career, was sort of thin and a little bit undersized compared to his opponents.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah.
So, mate, I think... Have you guys got any other players that you want to shout out as possible herds? I mean, there's one I've missed, but he's the obvious winner. So.
Well, it was interesting because I have my little notes and I've got a list of names, and they just about all of them were not mentioned by you, correspondent. I guess that's just shows what a great team effort it was.
Correct.
I thought Rids was just enormous, and I must say didn't notice him that much on the night, but when I went back and watched the replay, I just thought he was incredible, just so cool and calm. Now Duz had an awesome game. It wasn't just the goal. I think he played four quarters of fantastic footy and it was close to his best game. I think he just attacked the footy and the contest from the first minute. And I just thought he was fantastic.
And we were meant to have his godmother, who pulled the pin at the last minute and couldn't make it because she's not feeling great. Taz was meant to be on the podcast, and she would have loved to have waxed lyrical about him. I will say, if he can become a half-decent player, he's got a post-footy career in the media. Because he's been great with some of these little interviews and grabs, and we haven't heard from him at all, really. But
did you see that one where he said that he shat himself?
Yes.
And he saw the ball coming towards him.
And I heard, was it someone said this morning he was on one of the footy shows and they asked him about what the setting up for the last minute or two, and he virtually revealed the whole entire game plan of how they set up.
Yeah, that wasn't great. But he's definitely a natural in front of the camera.
At least he knows the game plan.
Yeah, that's right. At least it was a game plan to know.
Clearly he would have struggled under Truck. he's the wild man from, I'll say, Broadford or Seymour, one of the two, but you know, he's a meat and three veg guy at best, right?
Nothing wrong with meat and three veg.
You reckon would he go to Vlado's, or is Vlado's a little bit too highbrow?
No, he might have been one of the starters, but he could definitely be on the menu.
No, sorry, Jez. I know you had other names. I mean, clearly Hep had a good game, probably his best game for the year. He was incredibly dependable down back.
Old man Hep, much maligned on this podcast, especially by me. And
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah, how good was he? He was awesome.
Much maligned by Jez from this podcast.
I think much maligned broadly is probably fair.
Yeah, look, he was heroic at times.
Amazing. Oh, yeah.
Like he got goal saving marks. It wouldn't be an overstatement to say some of his play in the last quarter won us the game.
Well, that mark he took with 90 seconds to go, which is quite an unlikely mark for him.
Yes.
If any other outcome from that contest, and we don't win that game, if the Richmond guy could have marked it, if it had come to ground, it was 2-on-1 against Hep, he wasn't going to win that.
Oh.
So any other outcome, and we don't win that game, so
agree.
Well done to him.
And when did he become Luke Hodge with his disposal? Like target after target after target, difficult targets too.
Yeah, I don't remember him missing one. He was great. I thought Redman was just awesome. Hobbs, I thought, was awesome. I've only got two more names, and I think that takes us to about 15. Last week I said that we got slaughtered in the air in the contested marks around the ground. And I just want to give a shout out to Weed and Kane Baldwin. They had 16 marks between them. They had 5 contested between them. And they took some clutch marks, those two. And so I gave them a real star. They were very important. They didn't get heaps of the footy, but what they did, I think, was really important. And that's the end of my list.
I think the solution, as you mentioned earlier, they went in with a really clear game plan, aware of how Richmond do that kind of surge footy, right? And they were clearly wanting to control the ball, chip it around. You look at, and we basically matched them across, you know, I know we don't talk stats, but the main stats, we had more of the footy. We had pretty much matched them for centre clearances inside 50s. So it was a game that was very much in our control, even though I think we've all said we didn't look like ever really winning it until the last minute.
Yep. I think you could. I mean, we haven't mentioned Stringer. He did some really important things.
Well, he needed to. He needed to after half time. And I know he played a fair bit, you know, on the ball for centre clearances. And we just know that one goal he got, at least from the centre, that's just what he can do, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So, quickly to sum it up, I'm giving the herd to Zach Merritt, not only because he won the boomerang or the stick or whatever. He played another great game.
It's called a boomerang, mate.
No. Some people, it was a stick at one point.
It's now it was a boomerang.
Yeah, well, he should have thrown it. So he got
suspended for doing nothing. Imagine if he threw a boomerang and took off a toddler's head.
I think for a number of reasons, you know, one, that he missed Anzac Day. He's clearly changed, you know, We know he was voted off a leadership group 3 or 4 years ago. We know he's a bit of an odd cat. You know, he kind of walks a different beat, but he's clearly worked on his leadership. And I think he played a great game in light of the fact that there was no Parrish and Scheel was a laid out.
Yeah, and just on his leadership, I mean, the criticism, wasn't it, was his standards were super high.
Yep.
On reflection, maybe he was right.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, that's right.
I think we've raised our standards in many aspects of the way we play, and it's showing.
Is that a good segue? What?
It is.
So will I just give out the Henneman just for that?
Yeah, there is literally not another nomination, I don't think. I thought Davey and Menzies played their part, some critical things at different times. Waller had half a dozen really important tackles. D'Ambrosio actually had a good last quarter when he came on.
He did. He was much better than last week. Yeah.
The two subs that came on had more possessions, or each of them had more possessions than the guy that I'm giving the Henneman to, or more disposals.
So just on Phillips, which is obviously who we're talking about, I mean, obviously not a great day for Ruckman, particularly when it's kind of wet or wettish. Oh, that was sort of, it wasn't raining as such, but I just reckon we're doing him a disservice by playing every game. Like, he wasn't playing every game and hasn't played every game for a long time. He's been in and out of the side. He's obviously really, really tired. He just needs a spell.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I thought Wiedemann did all right in the ruck in that last quarter. Whether he can do it for a whole game, possibly not, in which case bring in Brian. But you've got to give Phillips a rest just for his own sake, surely.
Yeah, I think, as we know, the journeyman player that he's been for 10 years across three clubs, you're right, he hasn't ever played it more than a few games in a row. And, so I think he gets a rest for next week when they head over to Perth, which is probably a great bit of timing. But, look, he gets the Henneman.
Yes, are you going to argue?
No, and it's...
You're going to try and argue that Adolf Hitler's innocent? No, that's what the equivalent of.
Yeah, he had a really poor game, and I still say that there was that game against Melbourne a month or so ago where he was stellar, and he's had a couple of other games where he's been better than Draper, but the last two games have been really bad, and he actually did look tired. That hadn't occurred to me. When I watched the replay, I just couldn't believe the number of contests he was near and just couldn't get to, or just didn't get to, or was pushed off from. So, yeah, he may well be tired. He's certainly playing with no confidence at the moment. I think he has to. It would be astounding, I think, if he played next week, if they kept him in. They've got Brian knocking on the door, or they just play one ruckman. It doesn't really matter. I just think, yeah, he's not bringing anything to the table at the moment.
I mean, I think the saving grace, and not for him, but the saving grace for some others have been our injury list, because there's certainly been one or two other players that probably were in the gun for having a rest. But, yeah, you're right about Brian. He's running around in the twos. Give him a crack for the rest of the season. If we're going to play two ruckmen, bring in Brian.
Yes. Anything else on the game that you want to mention? Jez, you normally bring some stats along.
I've done my stats. I've done my stats, the contested marks and the world record uncontested marks. That's the stat input.
That's your contribution?
Yeah.
Anything else anyone wants to mention?
I think just whilst you're on stats, we had more marks inside 50. Interesting.
Than the Tigers?
Yeah.
I mean, the Tigers without Tom Lynch is a very, very different prospect. If Riewoldt's on the second or third best defender and Lynch is wreaking havoc, they're very different. I mean, obviously we had injuries and that as well, but their forward line really looked pretty kind of impotent, really.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
But I think we certainly won the injury list debate.
Debate, yeah.
I mean, Peter Wright, for example, makes a big difference. But yeah, they've not had this is really a year where injuries have hit them hard.
Mate, most premiership winning teams have a great run of it with injuries. Richmond had it. Everyone does. Melbourne's had it. At the moment, Brisbane have got no injuries, as we know. So it's a rub of the green. Hopefully, in 5 weeks' time, we'll have four or five guys back that are all in our first 18 or 22.
It'll be very interesting as some of those guys become available, because there's really not that many of our team who are obvious candidates to go out. I mean, even a Baldwin. You know, we've commented on him and praised him the last 2 weeks. Menzies copped some flack, but I thought he was great last night. I mean, D'Ambrosio and Hind are the obvious ones, but we've got about half a dozen, you know, first team players to come back in. It'd be very interesting to see how they shuffle them.
Well, interesting to see if Laverde comes straight back in for Baldwin, because I think he offers that little bit more bulk, which we desperately needed. Yep. And if he continues on this trajectory, then again, this is a positive of having these injuries to find. Personally, BZT established in the team, one of the first on the team sheet. I think we know that now. He's absolutely cemented his spot, and Baldwin could do the same in the course of the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, timing's good against. We've got some very winnable games, as we know, over the next few weeks. So.
Next 3 weeks?
Yeah. Yes. I was going to say two, but let's say three.
You're kicking my Blues while they're down.
Well, this is what I wanted to mention. I wanted to talk about where we think we might end up. So even though we've gone through this sort of patch of many interstate games, injuries, and really good teams, and I guess we include Richmond in that, even though their ladder position suggests otherwise, but that last week they looked like they were back. So I don't think you can downplay the victory. Where do you think we'll finish up? Because I think we win the next three games. I mean, it's dangerous against Carlton, because obviously, irrespective of, it's a cliche, but you throw form out the window for that game, I think, a little bit. But I reckon we've got some winnable games, not just now, but in the back half of the year. And I think there's a world where, dare I say, we're having a go at a final.
Can I just ask as a point of order, when you say where will we finish up, do you mean on the end of round 23 ladder?
Oh, don't go here.
What I mean, very good, Jez. I mean at the end of the season. And we know what the end of the season is. The end of the season is at the end of the final series, obviously.
So is that finishing 8th, 7th, 6th or 5th?
Look, I just refer you to the great debate. It's on the YouTube channel. You can go in and listen to it.
I don't think we'll make finals. That's not a criticism or anything. I just when you look at who's in the 8, it's hard to see who's going to come out of the 8. I mean, Sydney's not in the 8. They're playing shit, but they're the sort of team who can push up into it. The Dogs, I haven't been until this weekend. They hadn't proved themselves, you know, to me. I hadn't seen them much, but they're hanging in there. And the Saints, I saw them this afternoon, and they're hanging in there. You have to kick someone out to get in, and it's hard to see who's going to come out.
Yeah, but yeah. A lot of those teams play each other. Actually, you know what? Our draw maybe isn't as good as I thought. It's back up. You know where we go the day after the bye?
I can't recall, but tell me.
Cat Park?
We play at Fremantle.
Oh, you're right.
And then we play...
We do play at K Park. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Then we play Port. Then we play at K Park. Then we play...
We, we play Port here, so that's. I think of the teams that are in the eight. I think St Kilda are at risk, and possibly Adelaide. But Jez, you're right. I mean, you know, you've got to knock one or two out, and you know, probably Essendon, Frio, Carlton, and I don't think Sydney, but they're the only ones that can potentially come in. But Carlton are a rebel. I watched a bit of today's game. It was similar to last week. They have just got no clue. The first half was hilarious, as in Collingwood were just able to do whatever they wanted. So, you know, their game plan, whatever it is I have no clue, and the players don't seem to have a clue.
Anyway. You're setting us up for a real crash in 3 weeks with comments like that.
Nah, it's all right, mate. I think we're going to come out of the West Coast. I mean, Jesus Christ, West Coast were done by, 110 points? 17th versus 18th. They weren't even on the bottom.
They're tanking.
Well, there's an interesting dynamic to that, because we play them next week, as we've said. We now have one more day's rest than them, and we're both travelling. So they're travelling back, and we're travelling over. So the scales are nicely tipped for us to. I mean, if Hawthorn can beat them by 116, surely, you know, 150 or something's.
Yeah, against a tanking team that doesn't want to win anyway, hardly matters, really.
Mate, one win and a percentage of 55. That's got to be, I don't know what the lowest ever percentage is, but that's getting close.
Yeah, when you're getting effectively doubled every game, that's.
And we haven't touched on the Kangas game yesterday. So
the conclusion then is we're not playing finals.
I don't think we are. I think there's going to be a logjam of teams that finish maybe 6th to 10th, and it'll be one game that divides them. And I think we might miss by a game. But that's okay. I don't think this year we're good enough by any stretch.
Oh yeah, and I'm not suggesting it's a fail if we don't make finals. It would just be good for the experience and be good to give that young list a chance.
So you play the Pies in the last round, right? What are the chances that game, the winner of that game, if Collingwood win, they'll finish top two, and if we win, we finish in the eight?
Yeah, it could happen. Could happen. Or the Pies are cemented top.
And they rest 10 players.
There's always that chance too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, true.
But yeah, I mean, I know we go to Fremantle. We also go to Greater Western Sydney. No team, I think, has travelled as much as we. This is like the COVID year. We're travelling that much, or playing away from home that much.
Yeah, well, Collingwood don't travel. We know that.
Yeah, true.
There was one other aspect of the game, actually. Now I think about it, the streaker. Remember that there was a streaker last night.
Well, yeah, I didn't really see it. I saw him. I saw the mass of people with him crunched against the fence, but I didn't see the initial streak.
Well, I was just wondering. I mean, I have never seen the streaker and you in the same room, correspondent.
Where is Peter Hoare, by the way?
Yeah.
You know. Well, we know when it happened. Like it was. You know, setting up to completely. Derail our unexpected victory.
Yeah.
Was it an angry Tigers supporter? It looked like it was. I mean,
I don't know, mate.
I guess if he was streaking, you're not wearing your colours. Yeah, that was bizarre. We ready to talk controversial topic?
Always.
Like we never do that?
Alistair Clarkson.
So he'll never coach again.
I don't think he'll coach again either. Now, this is my view, and I'll caveat it firstly by saying if anyone's got mental health problems, then they're to be believed, I believe. They should be believed, should be given fair consideration, and people should give them space and all those things. So I'm not suggesting that there should be some kind of James Heard during the saga type witch hunt, which is appalling. As I've said before, I'll never forgive people like Caroline Wilson and Barrett for their persistent hounding of James Heard. So that's one thing I'll say. But it feels like, and I think it might have even been reported, that the investigation is going to be shut down and basically we're all going to move on. And I understand that there's possibly complications where the people who made the initial claims don't want to be involved anymore or people don't want to cooperate, whatever the case might be. Only thing for me is those initial allegations were so kind of harrowing and so disturbing. And I'm talking about the alleged abortion and all this sort of stuff that, so I'm not really making a statement about Clarkson or anyone else that was supposedly involved. I'm just amazed we're moving on like that. And this basically sounds like they're just going to pretend it never happened. So that probably doesn't give satisfaction to anyone. Won't give satisfaction to the people that have been accused of these things, and it doesn't give satisfaction the other way. What do we reckon? Who wants to start?
You go, Jez. You're a man of a legal mind.
He
is the Winsock General Counsel. We do get sued a fair bit.
Yeah, it's I think it's important not to pontificate too much about it, because in a sense, I think there, but for the grace, go 17 other clubs. I think if every club dug into their past in the same way that Collingwood has done, and in the same way Hawthorn's done, that, you know, there'd be lots of rocks to look under, and I don't think it'd be a pretty picture. So I think these sorts of allegations and stories are possibly at any given club, and even our club might have things hidden under rocks, who knows. But
you mean we've got other rocks?
I'm just saying there, but for the grace of God go a lot of other clubs. I think Clarko's, I mean, his persona, even back in his playing days, I mean, we're all, I think, of a vintage to remember him as a young guy knocking Ian Aitken into, you know, the next decade over in that game in London, the Battle of whatever it was. And his persona, his whole career has been
Battle of Britain.
He's been like this prick. That's his persona.
Stories of jumping onto the field at junior football games and things like that.
His persona is being this little prick. And I feel this must have got to a point of extreme. There must be serious issues for him and health problems for him to walk away, because it's so off brand. You know, it's just so off brand for this particular guy. So I actually, I feel I sympathise with him. I'm not going to say my heart goes out to him, but I mean, I don't think we should trivialise. Anyone should sort of trivialize what he's been going through. By the sound of it, it was a full-blown, depression, anxiety type situation that I wouldn't wish on anyone, especially in the public eye like that. And heard he went through a similar sort of thing. It's just, I think it's terrible. And as for the AFL, they are experts in sweeping things under the carpet. This ain't going away. They can sweep this under the carpet, but the actual complainants, by the sound of it, if you read the media, you know, it's just sort of starting for them. So this ain't going away. The AFL's tried to manage it as best they can. They'll be able to say, we had a process. The parties didn't cooperate such that we could make a final, like, informed decision in the absence of evidence. The allegations have to be found not to have been made out, and the AFL will be happy in a sense that they can say we did all we could, but the issue is not going anywhere, unfortunately. No.
I do find the timing quite ironic that the news, the reported articles of the whole, the whole thing being shut down, people being either exonerated or excused or what have you, within the same 24 or 48 hours of Clarkson's news. You would have thought that Clarkson's people would have maybe been aware of the AFL's impending announcement, and that may have assisted his decision or not, who knows? But you're right, there's clearly the next level, and you know this better than us, around there's ample cases or opportunity for some civil action, right? So, but
That's a really good point. Like in terms of timing, there is a world where Clarkson's stepping away because he's about to go through the absolute ringer.
Yep.
And it's been suggested that he steps away.
Well, mate, as we said about the AFL running the narrative, there's a 101% chance that he's been worded up with the likely outcomes either by his people or the AFL, right?
I just go back to that allegation in relation to the phone and abortion and all those sorts of things. That was so harrowing that that's the thing that always sticks in my mind, is that if it was even half true, then something majorly wrong.
And I think the points that we've all made, Ree, his persona, or the observations of him as a player and a coach, he's a hard ass, right? So it's incredibly believable that some of these allegations that have been alleged have some truth, in my opinion.
Yes. All right. Well, on the bright side, as I said in Fiona's forecast, did we dodge a bullet? And there were some Kangaroo fans that really came at Essendon fans. This is just banter, right? So this isn't the serious, in relation to the serious allegations. This is just a banter question. But the Kangaroo fans who came at us, who laughed at us, who ridiculed us because they'd got Clarkson, we hadn't, and we were going back to their supposed failed coach.
Can't
really. I'm looking for them, but I can't see them. I can't hear them. All I can see is tumbleweeds and hear crickets.
Well, it's looking at the next few weeks. We play them the week after this.
Is this the Clarkson Cup?
Should we come along with the L Clarkson cutout things? Are we allowed to boo? No booing?
Yeah, good point. Good point. Jez, anything else to?
Just remind me again. What happened what happened with us? We sacked our coach, and because we were going for Clarkson, and the board ruptured it because we were going for Clarkson, and then we threw everything at it.
Oh yeah, there was no. It was all good luck, not good management, that's for sure. Yeah.
It was the late bid for Clarkson. Remember, he was drafted in late in the process, apparently.
Yeah.
Mind you, we were trying to manage a CEO that we had for 24 hours.
Oh God.
Was that October last year? Is that right? God, that seems so long ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah, we did a podcast about it.
Right. So as you said, mate, is it the Clarkson Cup?
Yeah. Maybe not. Yeah, I don't think Clarkson cutouts would really go down well this week. What I want to bring back? Why can't we have another Mexican game?
Well, remember that?
Do you remember the Mexican game?
Absolutely. I thought you were going to say marshmallows. At the marshmallow game against Kangaroos.
There were guys going to the game with sombreros. That was the greatest thing ever. What was even the background to that?
That was to do with the alleged substances that had come from Mexico.
That's right.
Didn't some compounding chemist have some tranche of something from Mexico?
Look, I'm happy to go along with a couple of margaritas.
Pizzas or drinks?
That was
Both times, mate.
That was a great moment in Essendon fandom because I think Carol and Wilson came really hard and we just thought we're just going to embrace it. But like we are just going to turn it on its head. So yeah,
was that when we had the Bombays or was that an actual?
No, the Bombay. No, that was 20 years ago, mate.
Yeah, but the Bombays was just.
That was the cheer squad that couldn't spell.
The spell check on the crepe paper thing wasn't working.
Correct. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well,
no, we need to do something for the North Melbourne game.
I think win would be fine for me. So, but moving to next week. So we travel yet again. We're playing Saturday night.
Prime time.
Although it is the KO game, so you know, put your clinches out.
It's not 4:40 Sunday, at least.
No, that's true. We're all thinking regulation win, I assume. But do we see any changes? Whereas the cupboards.
I don't know whether we've got. I mean, whether Sheil, whether he plays, I don't think he was far away. Whether Kelly comes back in, but other than those two, I don't think all the other guys that are longer term injuries. I think they're still a week or two away at the minimum, and or some of those guys are going to have to play in the twos. I'm not saying Laverde, but others.
I think Guelph played half a game in the twos, didn't he? Yesterday?
He did, mate. Yeah, he came off at three-quarter time in the twos, kicked a couple of snags.
Maybe the Prince of Perth should get a game next week over there.
Mav?
Yeah, that's right. Is he the Prince of Perth or the Prince of Pussy? I can't remember. He's Pop. I think they call him Pop.
Hang on. Did you say Prince of Pussy?
Yeah, that's what I thought you said.
What did you say?
We're at the 50-minute mark. It's just the three of us. No one listens to this point.
Yeah. He may be the Prince of Perth and the Prince of Pussy.
Yeah, I think that's what they call him, Pop, but I'm never sure what.
So he would stands for. He would come back in for Snelling, right?
Yeah. Even Snelling was all right, by the way.
Oh, come on. He was okay. Oh.
Hang That's because he had a lot to play for because he was maligned the morning of the game by someone saying on their podcast that they didn't have their real microphone on hand, so they were using their backup, which was the Snelling of microphones.
Yeah, I should have said at the start too that I'm still using the Snelling of microphones, but like last night, it's kind of held up okay, I think. I hope. It's done a job, which is all you ask.
Yeah, well, he's the one that's on the chop, right? If Guelph's coming back in.
Or maybe Davey.
Well, it's funny. I mean, Davey, yeah, look, I think it's good to play him, but he's going to need a rest. And I don't want to say it, but, mate, I think Waller's just not fit. We know that.
But I think you've got to play him. I just think there's lots of reasons why I think you've just got to play him into fitness. And I don't mean play him in the twos.
I think there's a bit of an issue of playing those three guys in the one team.
Oh, I get that. Yeah.
I think Waller's the first picked of those three.
Well, yeah. Well, he kind of has to be then, right? You either, if he's not going to play first, he doesn't play at all, right?
I mean, he affected six tackles.
Yeah.
He had to. In fact, him and Davey really were critical to that goal towards the end when the ball bounced. Waller had a great bit of play in the middle, handball to Davey, just moved it quickly. And it's funny when you move it quickly, sometimes the luck does go your way.
Yeah, you move it quickly into space where the pace can run onto it. That's totally different from moving it quickly but just bombing it on someone's head.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it was Durham, Langford, and Menzies who were running onto the ball and did the job. That was a fantastic.
That was a beautifully horrendous bounce in our favour.
So,
well, look, yeah. What about the bounce from that mark in the first 5 minutes?
Well, yeah. Let's look, mate. I mentioned the umpiring last night. The umpiring was ordinary as per usual. But that how can four umpires, two down one end, not see that ball hit the ground?
It wasn't even borderline. I mean, it was.
No.
Yeah. It's awful. All right, we'll give the score.
Oh, for next week?
Yeah.
Look, I'll say we'll win by 40.
I think I reckon we're going to win by 8 goals. What's that, 48?
That's funny. I was going to say 40 points as well.
As you know, West Coast are going to be, it's classic, massively under the microscope, got pumped. They got to come out and show something next week. It's the old, age old.
And they do like playing us. Like they generally lift. They don't have many rights.
Having said that, have a look at their injury list. And I think they got one or two more. They got truckloads of guys that are multiple weeks out, like 20.
Yeah. But well, I guess why I think that's relevant, what you're saying about that they have been criticised this week, I do think they'll be competitive. The players have got competitive early and will probably just pull away the sort of halfway through the third quarter.
Well, Oscar Allen is one of those Matt Taberner types who turns into risks turning into John Coleman every time he plays against us. So
yeah,
exactly. I think we've got the cattle to hold him.
All right. Well, this is what I want to close on. Again, a little bit self-indulgent maybe, but after the game, we all went, well, when I say we, Windsock crew and many, many Essendon supporters went across to the Pullman. I was just going to say, can you imagine if we ever actually win a flag or even win a couple of finals? Because the amount of joy and celebration and milking it today on the socials and clips, we could be accused of going over the top. I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. But, as you pointed out, I think it was Jez, we're entitled to. But can you imagine if we actually would have a flag?
If we did, I don't think any of us would be upright enough at 8 o'clock on the following Sunday night to do the podcast.
Well, it would be the first horizontal podcast we've done before. Correspondent.
Would we? Yeah, I'm just thinking. Yeah, would we be out at Windy Hill? I wouldn't go out to the hangar. I'd go to Windy Hill and just sit there, you know, for the whole of Sunday night. It is funny, you guys met my daughter, one of them who you met last night, who's come along, and over the journey, she has wondered about, you know, she's 16 years old, will they ever win a, will we win a final, will she see us win stuff? And at points over time, when we were at much lower ebbs, and particularly what I enjoyed about last night, you look around the ground and you're like, thank goodness I'm seeing young kids in the crowd with our scarves on and what have you, because there was a period a number of years ago where you're like, you know what, we may become irrelevant, you know, like it's just, and I know that was unlikely, but you know, when you're not winning, you go and ask kids in the street, they follow the latest and greatest, right?
Yeah.
Is there any truth to the rumour that you made your daughter sleep in the dog kennel unless she barracked for Essendon?
No, that's the St Kilda supporter.
Oh, that's my story. My daughter came home from primary school and fucking Richmond had been to St Joseph's at Northcote and given all these kids a little kit. My daughter came home and said, I'm barracking for Richmond. And I said,
no, you're not.
Oh, I literally walked around the backyard. I said, see that shed there? That's where you're sleeping. You're going to back for Richmond. And next thing, Mrs. Solution was yelling at me because my daughter was crying. But sometimes you have to apply tough love.
Yeah, the windsock doing parental guidance.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it's kind of the football equivalent of what did the Spartans took the kids up, the babies up to Mount Zeus and left them there, the one day old infant to spend the night there to see if they survive. It's the equivalent of that.
So yeah, to answer your question, you are right. It's been so long. I don't think any of us have any clue what we might do on the back of winning a final, let alone a couple of finals, and let alone anything bigger than that.
But it's just for the you know, before this goes viral on Footy Classified or something, we're not talking about this year, everyone.
No.
We don't think we're going to be in winning a grand final this year. So just put that disclaimer out there.
Next year?
Of course, yeah.
1993 was an interesting year. Where were we at round 9?
Mate, I was living in London. I know. I have no clue about 1993, other than I know that we won the grand final. But yeah, right. We weren't travelling well, right?
No, but Jez, I mean, you're 100% right, Jez. But I guess my point is the sleeping giants starting to, his toes are starting to wiggle, and his fingers are starting to wiggle. Is the sleeping giant starting to wake up?
No.
Let's see what happens in 3 weeks' time. We'll have egg on our face, or we'll be in a better position to answer that.
Yeah, well, that's why I buried these questions at the back of the podcast.
I did. You guys would have seen the clickbait, some article somewhere today that on the back of last night's result and other great efforts over the last month, and with all the injuries we're carrying, that is Essendon's year so far one of the great team performances of 2023.
Where did this appear?
I don't know. Probably the Herald Sun. I don't know, but it was, you know, like, yeah, clickbait.
Well, look, I'll end on this. This team has heart. It has fight, and it's well coached. And we've got a good crop of young players who will get better. Draftees, the draftee we haven't seen yet from last year. Players to come back, and I think we will come home with a spinnaker up, and that will hopefully, that momentum will take us through to next year when we hopefully have a better fitness base, and yeah, we start to really, really feature at the end of the year, at the pointy end of the year in the finals, and fucking win a final and maybe two or three. And according to the Winsock 2000, then finish eighth because of where we finished in the ladder, irrespective of the finals.
You're right. Okay.
Any final words?
How's the Knackery sponsorship going?
Yeah, I haven't. Do you want to? Oh, actually, I've got Chief Marketing Officer Shelley Beans.
You could set up a mail merge or something, and we can get.
Well, no,
out.
She's meant to have a commercial team that's out there, you know, looking at partnerships. So yeah, maybe she needs to do the rounds of the rural knackeries and find one that can give us a sponsorship.
Hey mate, how's the downloading going on the podcast platform? Any clue?
Yeah, it's been genius because it's diverted traffic from the YouTube channel and means that we'll unlikely to
have a reveal.
We stuck on 206.
Yeah. Oh, that was 207. Someone unsubscribed. I'm gonna find them and hunt them down. Let me see how many subscribers have we got. It's 207. Oh. So plus 7 in the last month. So it was getting kind of hairy. Like if we,
did you say 250 was a target?
Yeah, but we're only 43 away, and that would mean how many months to go for the season?
Yeah, we won't get there. Thank goodness.
Well, if we average, yeah. Well,
if we make finals.
Yeah, it's not linear though. The things can spiral upwards. So anyway, we might be safe. The listeners might be safe. More importantly, but no, so just a reminder to everybody: we are now on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Are shit, by the way. I don't know if anyone uses that app. terrible as a podcast poster, and a few others as well.
All the major retailers, right?
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened. Check out Something About Cake, our magnificent sponsor. Get on, have a look at the website, start to place those cake or cookie orders. And, yeah, great win. Go Bombers, and we'll see you next week.
Go Bombers. Go Dons.